This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Have you been feeling curious about connecting with your spiritual side? Are you having difficulty trusting your intuition? It could be time to test your skepticism and meet with a spiritual medium. Three-Eyed Bob offers personalized, intuitive readings to help you better understand your journey and identify the unseen forces assisting you along the way. As featured on our first episode of this season, Three-Eyed Bob provides a fresh approach to mediumship that focuses on identifying realistic connections to your current life circumstances. Check out threeeyedbob.com for more information about services offered and to book your virtual reading session today. That's threeeyedbob.com, found in our episode notes. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Hannah.
How's your month been? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Well, for one, I missed you and I missed everyone. So it's good to be back. Nothing really, honestly. I've been doing a lot of art. I'm actually trying to complete one piece to submit to a gallery. It's for Ukraine, actually. So I will keep you guys updated on that. It's supposed to be due June 17th, and of course it's me. I put it off, but here we are. So how about you, Hannah? Anything fun in your month?
Yeah, I went to Greece. If you can't tell, I'm a golden brown.
She's so golden and so brown and pretty.
Yeah, I went to a cooking class, and so I learned how to make souvlaki. And I met some really cool people.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You're going to have to teach me how to make it.
I sent them our podcast, so they might be listening to this episode. But
it'd be cool if they could come on.
Well, yeah, that's why I sent them. So, but I won't, you know, say who they are, but on here. But anyway, so really nice people, really nice like break to get away. I feel like I was gone all of May because I went to West Virginia, went there. And then, yeah, my cat's been sick when I got back. So
it always happens, right? Right? Like yeah, one thing after the other.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully she's on the mend. But she's so just coming now, back right? to crazy stuff. I had, you know, a great month ready. Starting my summer off great because I had a great tan and hopefully it stays. And my hair, I feel like, is lighter. I don't know if you think so. But, yeah, we're going to finish up a couple episodes and then have our summer break and then return for season 4. So, anyway, this episode is with Disco Risque. And I actually saw them live with my friend Kristen. She was like, hey, come here. There's this band playing and we can eat afterwards or like eat at this place. So they have a new Capital One like rooftop. It's on like the 11th floor and I had never been. The crazy thing is when we were there, I was ordering French fries and the fire alarm went off and they have like grass and it looks like you are like on a ground level. And I asked the guy that was like behind the counter, I was like, should we evacuate? I was like, and I turned to Kristen, I was like, we are on the 11th floor. I think we should be concerned that this fire alarm's going off and no one's doing anything. And she's like, that's right. I was wondering why you were freaking out. I was like, we could just walk. We're on the ground, but we're not. They like really.
Yeah, feel like you. It's like a pretend ground. Like
this
like
is how they kill you. In. This is how it happens.
But anyway, you know, like, we all think we're on the first floor, but really you're dead. You're on the 11th floor.
Right. Yeah. Another thing that's happened in this past month that I feel like we have to mention is, you know, we've a lot of mass shootings have happened, you know, before, and just gun violence in general. I'm a victim, or my family, I'm not personally, my family is a victim of gun violence. My uncle was murdered. My cousin, I have two cousins that were killed with guns. And so it's just very important that we, you know, kind of mention all the gun victims, not just in mass shootings, but just how many there are daily. And I feel like it is something that we don't talk about enough, or we don't pay attention.
And that's where I feel like it's nice that we have this place to share it, because it is very hard. That I notice that a lot of the times we go on with our days, but it happens every few minutes every day, and that it's just such a tragedy that we need to, unfortunately, we need to take care of as a country, and we're thinking of everyone. So we should definitely, we're going to list resources too and ways you can help.
Yeah, in our resource page. And I have a donation thing for Good Thing, at least on my Instagram, and we can shift that to.
We could put it on our Instagram too.
And also, I want to, like, speaking of me, you know, being in Greece, my friend Abby and I, or my friend that I went with, we were talking to a parking attendant, and he was like, "Aren't you afraid to live in America?" And I was like, "What? Like, I don't think." And he was like, "With all the gun violence, because in Greece they don't have guns, and there's not that type of violence, or you don't have to worry about that type of thing walking." And I feel like we are just so numb to it that I was just like, "No, I'm not scared." Right. But like, I really should be. I really, you know, like, it's just, we just see it so much that we don't think about it.
And unfortunately, that's what's the sad part, is like that, him even pointing that out to you, because you didn't even think about it. It's like, we're just so numb. And then now, not that it hasn't been, but it's affecting our children too. Like, the youth is not even wanting to go to schools anymore. Many of them are actually, like, growing up really afraid too, and in depressions too, because of the gun violence. I know it's not just with schools, but it is, like, even if we're not talking about it all the time and stuff and not thinking about it, it's affecting everything, whether we want it or not. So, and the world is seeing it, just like what Greece was saying, like the guy was telling you. And it's kind of sad that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so this was a really great episode. We just recorded it. We hope you guys enjoy it. It was really nice meeting Ryan, aka Swimsuit, and Robert, aka Slim. So when you listen, because I feel like we introduced them as Slim and Swimsuit, and then it was like interchangeable throughout. So that way you're aware of the guys.
Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Disco Risque with Slim and Swimsuit. And I saw them live last weekend. And then I decided to reach out because I thought you guys had like a cool little vibe and playing the trumpet and things like that. So my friend dragged me to Capital One. I'd never actually been there.
Capital One's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great venue.
And we went and saw you.
Well, thanks for coming.
Is Rachel the friend that dragged
you
there?
No, she was not. I'm
the Rachel.
Yeah. I tagged you in a picture. Wait, you don't remember seeing my picture?
I was like, if I wasn't remembering I was there, we have a problem.
Yeah, no. We actually got up and left because my watch kept saying it was too loud.
Nice.
But you guys had a good – I've listened.
We're a very loud band.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially electronics.
You guys were just so good, she had to leave.
She had to go. That's what happens.
But I still found out.
How often that happens.
I'm sorry, what?
You wouldn't believe how often that happens.
What, like leave?
Yeah, it's just so good people have to leave.
These guys are great. I'm out of here.
Oh, man, you guys just really did so amazing.
Yeah. We were hungry, and the place didn't have that much food, and I need food. So. Yeah,
I get it. Working in music production and touring with a band, if I'm not doing one of those two things, I'm probably not there. So I get it.
So kind of going a little background. So you guys have 5 band members. Is that correct? And it started out with 4, and Swimsuit was not a part of the original 4.
No. Me, the guitar player and original bassist, Charlie Murchie plays guitar and actually lives here in this fine abode. And John Bruner, our original bassist, we started this band, and it was actually kind of funny. The Ryan was kind of asked to join this band out of like almost laziness by our bassist partner.
It's Ryan pretty, is pretty weird story.
We were talking about having, we had an original plan of like getting a bunch of different singers together and doing kind of like no real lead to this early on. Like when this band was just an original idea. And our bassist was on Facebook and was thinking about how we would like a front man who also played another instrument that's kind of like not as restricting as like something like the bass or guitar. And he just like, I see a picture of this guy singing and playing trumpet. I'm going to send him a message. Just a picture. Didn't know who he was. Had never heard him.
He could have just been posing with it.
Yeah. Who knows? He was in a picture with somebody we know. And then like he comes to practice and then just never left. And he's now like this. He's the front man of the band.
It was pretty funny too, because I remember the moment specifically when I get a message on Facebook from a dude named John Bruner. And his profile picture is like Homer Simpson or something. So I don't know who he is, but I was like, I'm going to piece it together over the course of this conversation that this is someone I know who's reaching out. Turned out to not be the case. And it was just like, yeah, we're looking for a singer. And like Slim said, showed up at the house, went through a couple of rehearsals. And then it turned into, well, instead of doing a couple of songs, let's do all the songs. And then from all the songs into all the shows for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
So was that in 2014?
Towards the end of 2014.
Yeah. I think my first rehearsal was like February of 2015.
We did play some shows. We did some traveling and played some shows before he was, before Ryan was the official front man.
Adopted him.
Before he took him over. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So now you guys have the paperwork.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. So you guys have a couple albums, and how did that come about?
I mean, like Slim said, the first album they had already written, that's why I came in to join the project. And from there are always songs on deck. We're always writing stuff, and as you bring in new people, they're bringing in new music they're writing. So probably half of the second album was already written, if not more, by the time the first one was coming out, and that just cascades into new projects. So yeah, we've have two full length albums out, two EPs that are out, and we're sitting on another full length album that's done, and probably another two albums worth of songs that have yet to be recorded or put together in a catalog.
Yeah.
So what's your process?
We rehearse a lot. We have like a minimum of two mandatory like long half day rehearsals every week. And then we get together kind of like a day besides that to work on other stuff individually and stuff. And then play one to two shows a week as often as possible. So we're like always together. So we're always able to kind of like, even if we're not sitting down to write, we're just always writing with each other on the road. And we spent a lot of time on the road together too. Yeah. So.
And you're in Richmond or Roanoke?
We're in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. Yeah. Yep. I should have written that down.
No, you're good.
Oh, it's all good.
Actually, Ryan's the only one that's from here. So.
And I'm not actually from here. I moved here for school in like 2007.
So none of us are really from here. We just love being here.
Yeah.
So it's a good place to be. It's an awesome place to be. High school or... In 2000.
I came here in 2007 for college, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you came as like an adult.
Correct. Yeah. My dad was in the military, so we lived in Northern Virginia from like 2002, and then 2007 I came here for school. When I was done with that, I just stuck around.
Stayed.
Yeah.
And then what about the rest of you guys?
Charlie and I are both from Roanoke. Me and the guitar player, we started this band. This is kind of a project we've had in our back pocket for a long, long time. Me and Charlie, we've known each other since we were 15, since we were kids. We grew up in Roanoke, Virginia. And then he moved up here maybe 20 years ago, almost. No, I guess maybe 15, 16 years ago. And I've been here for almost 10 years. Yeah. And he just told me, he's always talked about how awesome it was to just home base out of here, because we're all... us and like all the people we hang out with, we're all touring musicians and traveling musicians. So it's all about like the nicest place to sleep and home base out of. And then I met my wife and was playing with this other band, Kings of Belmont, and was just like, this is, it all kind of lined up maybe about 10 years ago and ended up just staying in Charlottesville. And I don't see us moving anywhere. So this place is fantastic.
Home base. Yep.
Yeah. And then our bassist currently lives in Richmond. And the keys player lives in this house as well, but he's originally from Massachusetts, and we found him in Pennsylvania when we were playing gigs up there.
Just like picked him up?
I mean, more or less, the way that went down was the band had played this festival called Peace of Mind Fest, and myself and Charlie stuck around afterwards, and he was running sound at one of the stages there, and he and Charlie stayed up that whole night just getting to know each other, and... it was one of those things where he was playing in a band up there, and it was the offer was always on the table. If your band ends up not being together anymore and you want to come down to Charlottesville and play rock and roll with Disco Risque, you know, you've got a job as a keys player here. And then the pandemic hit and that band kind of folded and he moved down here in September of 2020, which was a pretty brave move considering there was no opportunity to be a working band at the time. But it gave us a lot of time to get, you know, him up to speed on the music and get us to gel as a new five piece rather than a four piece. And definitely everyone who's seen us before and after the addition has been like, oh yeah, with the keys, like the sound is just so much bigger. Like that was, if there was a thing that was missing, that was it.
Yeah. We were really waiting on his availability, just waiting for him to have the opportunity. And as soon as that happened, he took a chance and moved down here. He's actually awesome. In his room back there.
Yeah.
So we'll probably
get him to come out of it.
Yeah. No, he's shy.
It was more of like, I was like too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe right. Too many cooks.
Yeah. Well, we had one band that had like 10 people.
No. And they played us a concert.
Yes, nice. They did. They did play for us. Nice. And then they just had a big gig recently too.
Nice. So. Who was this?
Oh yeah. Redline.
Yes.
Redline.
They're very brand new. They had not played anywhere, and I went to college with two of them. They're like the siblings, and then they were school? Like Marshall.
Nice.
Okay. I'm from West Virginia.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah. And so then they like came on our podcast. They were going to talk. The sister was actually going to talk about a different subject, and she's like, "I'm forming this band. Can I just talk about that?" And I was like, "Sure."
And I was like, "All of the members."
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're like, "We're actually having a practice. Let's just do it that night." So
that's cool. Like, that kind of worked out. We have that gear too. You know, yeah. We'd love to do that sometime. So we've done it before. We have all the gear to run like a full mix into a.
We were definitely on the whole like, let's do live streams right when everything got shut down. And man, I gotta tell you. It got old fast, but we got pretty good at it before it totally became like unbearable to do anymore. Yeah.
That's kind of what this is. It's all this leftover of, you know, quarantine videos and stuff. We still have all this gear that we don't really use anymore because we can thankfully go back out on the road.
So you keep mentioning people live in this house. Do a bunch of you just live together?
Me and my wife. And no, this is the band house. We are on top of like the big rehearsal space. It's we live out in the kind of in the country outside of Charlottesville and Earliesville. And we've got this house. It's the band house. Me, my wife, the guitar player and the keys player all live here. Ryan doesn't.
No, I do not.
I feel like you need a reality show.
He lives outside, right? I heard.
It is entertaining as hell here a lot.
Yeah. I like how he had like the side eye.
Maybe you've heard of a band called Kendall Street Company?
Mm-mm.
No, you should check him out. Fantastic band from Charlottesville. Bunch of musicians who he lives with.
Yeah.
Oh, so you live with another. That seems kind of like.
It's actually really nice because he's out of town when I'm in town and I'm out of town when he's in town. So we both split the rent, but when we're at home, we get a lot of alone time.
It's not with each other.
So it works out the time.
It does work out nicely. Yeah, he's actually about to hit the road tomorrow and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, let me see
we just
what
got
I
done touring. We are home
place.
For a while.
Oh, so was that the end of your tour when I saw you last weekend?
Yeah, we just played Rooster Walk, this festival outside of Roanoke. It's on kind of like Martinsville, Virginia. And we did two sets, or actually once I got rained out, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It rained pretty bad on Friday. Mm-hmm. But Sunday we had a big set down there, and that finished off like our 3-week tour of May.
Wow.
And it's good to be home.
Yeah. So how often do you tour?
Yeah, tour.
We try to do something a season, you know, a few weeks a season.
Yeah.
We're looking to do
what
more.
What is a season, like summer, spring?
Every 3
fall?
Months, every 3 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, and
do you do
things were starting to cook right in like through 2019 and slowed down again. So we're kind of figuring out how to get back out there and do it all, you know, DIY like we have been for – you know, as long as we've been a band.
Yeah.
So think that, you know, May was one of the busier months we've ever had. June and July are going to be a little slower, but the fall is looking like it's going to be pretty busy again. Yeah.
Well, that's
which
exciting.
Is fine by me. I don't mind having time at home. There's other parts of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you got to work on stuff.
I love not. Oh, yeah, we kind of even those out pretty smoothly.
Where all do you go? Do you just go all over the United States or do you stay like on the East Coast?
We go all over the place. I mean, anywhere that will have us, that makes sense. But we've been as far north as Maine, as far south as New Orleans, and then Colorado's as far west as we've gone. So we're hitting a lot of places at this point. That's awesome. And everywhere in between as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your favorite place?
Wow. I got to say, I won't shut up about the drive from Denver to Steamboat Springs.
True. Ooh.
It was amazing.
And honestly, Steamboat Springs was one of the best shows of the year so far. Old Town Pub in Steamboat Springs.
Awesome place.
But yeah, I agree. That drive out there through the Rockies is just really breathtaking. Really cool spot to play.
Felt lucky to see it. It was one of those things like, man, I'm pretty lucky I get to drive this van right now.
Yeah.
So you guys just go out in a van?
We have a van and a trailer, and we tear it up.
Spend a lot of time on the road. And, to pass the time, we do these things called the Vando Sessions.
Yes.
I don't know if you've looked into any of our social media accounts, but
a little.
Basically, we do acoustic covers of female pop stars while we drive down the road. And it's really fun. Like, I'll sing and hold the selfie stick. He'll sing and do percussion in the front seat. And the other three guys will play like acoustic bass and guitar and a melodica in the back. And we just learn these songs on the road and then record them. And then usually like put them on the internet the next day.
Yeah. I know like you have zero goes TikTok pop. Videos though. Like I feel like you have zero TikTok videos. I thought maybe I thought you had like one follower. Like,
I think we just opened our TikTok account like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
A week ago. It had to be a week ago because I followed you.
It may have existed, but like no like content. I don't know. We're starting to get that ball rolling though.
Yeah.
So should be more entertaining to be on our TikTok account in a month or two.
But if you go to our Facebook, we do have about, I think we've done 23. We just uploaded our 23rd.
Something like that.
And we're super proud of them. Like every time we do them, we're like, yeah, that was the best one. And then we'll do the next one. Like, yeah, that was the best one.
Yeah, we're kind of like.
I have my emo girl coming out because I have all the emo goes pop songs and stuff from all of like a Devil Wears Prada does Britney Spears and shit like
that.
We've
got a Britney Spears track in there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, my little emo girl heart.
The most recent one we did.
We just did it.
We did two. We did the Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Poker Face. Poker Face was really good. I was super happy with that. We did a Sheryl Crow before that, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was a Sheryl Crow song. But yeah, that Poker Face was awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of a highlight of tour. We do that on people expect it from us, so it kind of motivates us.
I honestly think that more people know us for doing that than for playing the music that we actually work hard to play.
I worked on this for years, but
it's about 3 hours worth of work tops. Yeah. You know,
We listen to the song as a band, learn it real quick, and then perform it, and are super happy with it.
Hey,
I think that's what happens though with art though at times. Sometimes it's something that you don't spend time on. And
We also have, we used to do, we haven't done it in a while, but we have a kind of like a parody news show we did to promote our shows. Anything we were doing, and we had our own characters. I was the head anchor and he was the field anchor.
Yep.
That's also on our YouTube and on our Facebook and most places. We should probably also like throw those into this TikTok reel thing too, right?
For sure.
He's the man, just repurpose the stuff you already have. But it's like an Anchorman style thing, and everybody in the band has done a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called DR News.
And Anna, we should do something weird like that.
It's really fun.
You guys would be great at it.
It's really fun. You get in like a character and act stupid. And
I could do that.
I like to do different voices.
Yeah. We played a show not so long ago where we got to go on the local news.
I tried to load those videos and it wouldn't work.
Yeah. And like the whole, like just was my news anchor character the whole time. And I asked them to like put my name from the show on there, like not my real name. And they played along, which I thought was pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's unexpected. I didn't expect them to be so game about it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the real anchor man.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's this weird meta situation. Yeah. Which we also appreciate this. Like, we love doing stuff like this. Thanks for asking us to do it.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. So are you guys working on anything? Like any new albums, songs?
We have our new full-length album we were supposed to release in 2020, but kind of pushed back. We have this big kind of promotion we're doing and stuff. And so that's been moved to October.
It's coming up.
Oh, it's coming up
in the fall. And we have a full-length album we're ready to release. And we're Like, it's called Joke Squad. And it's it's a all instrumental kind of like a funk metal album.
Yeah,
it's very, very heavy, but it's this aspect, arguably or probably my favorite aspect of disco risque, is this kind of mathy dance metal music.
Yeah. I love that.
This album's full of that. That's all it is.
Yep. Yeah. So that's definitely coming out. Although we don't have an official date nailed down yet, but like I was saying earlier, we've always got new stuff coming up, and we're starting to put together a next full length, because like he said, that one has been done since 2020. So it's been a while since we've gone to the studio to work on a full length, which is just a different process than working on a shorter release, like an EP, like especially if it's a like cohesive body of work, which this is going to be. So we've got kind of a theme for it. We've got a few songs that we definitely want to include in the catalog, but there will probably be some songs written specifically for it as well, just to make sure that everything makes sense and is a kind of a graduated version of what we've been trying to do all along. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song or anything?
By Disco Risque?
It changes all the time.
Yours is always American Maestro.
Yeah, that's arguably, probably most consistently American Maestro is mine. Just the live version of it. The album version too, but the way we play it live, it's so dramatic. And it always, no matter what, that song will get people's attention and get them going.
I have a question. This has nothing to do with your music, and I can cut this. So during your show at the Capital One Hall, whatever that place is called, because there's...
It's at Capital One.
The Perch, I think is
it. Well, there's a Capital One Hall.
It's Star Hill, Beer Garden at the Perch.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
So you guys played for like 3 minutes, and then you took a break. Does that have something to do with it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because we were like, all ready. And then you're like we're going on a break. And we're like, you guys literally played for a song. And then, I didn't have something. It was like, going wrong with the song. I saw the guy with the iPad, like, seeming like he was having problems.
Basically what you have to do to make sure the show's going to run right is you test everything before the show starts. So there had been another performer as we showed up who was doing an acoustic gig. So there was a limited amount of time for us to set everything up, plug everything in, and then be ready to play. So in that time, we just had to do that little 3-minute taster, a little appetizer for you.
Just to make sure all the mics are working and everything.
And so that guy with the iPad was out there, and he was like, okay, I hear all the drums, I hear the bass, I hear both guitars, the keys, the trumpet, the vocals are all in there. They're at the right levels. Cool. Go back there, finish getting changed or whatever, and then we'll start the show.
Yeah.
And you can keep that in there for sure.
Yeah, you can definitely keep that in there.
It was just funny because my friend Chris and I, we were like, oh, they're starting. And I was like eating fries. And then you guys are like, we're
traditionally
going
like normally the sound check happens a lot earlier before your set time. Normally a couple hours if you're lucky.
That's understandable. Yeah. It was just really funny because it's like all hyped and ready to go. And then it's like, oh no, we're going on break.
Yeah.
Imagine that was just how we played. We were just did like half a song at a time.
Yeah.
You're like, it's so exhausting up here. I need to take a break.
Yep.
We have a friend here who I won't name because it's just more of a joke, but he's been on the scene for a while, and we like to joke that he starts his sets with his set breaks now.
Yeah.
So if he's going to play from like 6 to 9,
he'll
show up, set up, and then walk off the stage until about 6:30.
And anybody who like mentions it, if like they're going to his show, and no matter what, somebody jokes about how many breaks he takes. So he's like, oh yeah, with his 60 set breaks.
Yeah. So now you're turning into him.
Only by your estimation.
Your estimation.
Yeah, the one show I've seen, it's like you played one song, and then you guys are like, we need to break. Thank you for coming out. Break
now,
time.
Now, the money.
Now I
want to
go. I want to go on the record here that we did play 3 full sets after this that she hasn't brought up yet.
That's a lie. And I wasn't even there.
3 hours.
You played for 3 hours?
Yeah.
I think we were billed from 6:30 to 10, and we took 2 15-minute set breaks. Yeah.
So 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's normal for a show like that with no opener or anything. You don't really play about two 75-minute sets with a set break.
It's a long night. Music.
It's a long night, but it's fun. It's exhausting.
A long night.
Yeah.
It's a great way to stay in shape.
And we should be back soon. We'll let you know when
we're
back.
Will totally go back.
Welcome.
I was going to say, Rachel, you got to come this time.
Yeah, definitely.
Okie doke.
And if you're ever in Charlottesville,
my coworker actually lives there and comes up for to go to the museum. Oh, maybe I'll go down to visit her gallery.
Yeah. I grew up doing that. And I lived so far away when we made the journey constantly. Yeah. And now that I'm 2 hours away, I never go.
I mean, it's a small town. Who's your friend and what do they do around here, right?
It's a small town.
She works at the gallery there and then comes up to the museum I work at.
Okay.
But what's her name? That's
mostly up here.
Yeah.
Caroline.
I honestly don't think I know a single
person. He doesn't know anybody.
She's a little lady. She's 22.
You've been there your entire life since you're 18. How do you not know everybody?
Yeah, I know, right?
I honestly thought there was a chance. So
let's see. Nope. Caroline.
Yep.
You never know. I'm from a very small town, and I'm always like anybody around the area. Yeah. And then my dad has a small business, so I always like drop his business. If you need a U-Haul, let me know. I can help you get a U-Haul. No
we
lie.
We often do. Yeah. While we're getting our trailer repaired, we definitely
And if you guys need help with your teeth, guys, my mom could help too.
Oh, teeth.
We're throwing out businesses.
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to help.
Honestly, if you do need a U-Haul, I can give you discounts possibly.
I will definitely.
I can send you the number.
Yes,
and you can
seriously,
say, Hannah,
I will email you about that because we do pretty often.
And you can be like, Hannah, you know, contact in.
Hannah said you're supposed to give me a U-Haul.
Hannah of Hannah and Rachel.
Hannah and Rachel are donating a trailer to Disco Risque.
No, my dad would be like, no. No.
Like,
well, we could give you guys a recording.
She said it. Nope. She said it. She could give us a trailer.
I can give you this right here if you need a U-Haul trailer.
Ah, perfect. Nice.
Good. You know
I just got a smaller drum set.
I don't know if they'll fit.
Yes, I've had this since I was a kid because my dad's a U-Haul dealer. But anyway, I don't know if it will hold your stuff. I don't know if it's big enough.
It's all right. We'll just pick up the trailer you're giving us.
Yeah. Anyway, back on track. So how did you get started playing the trumpet? Going back.
I wanted to ask that.
I was 9 years old, and I was actually thinking about this the other day. There's really no rhyme or reason. My dad played trumpet for like a year when he was in eighth grade. And then they're like, well, if you want to keep playing trumpet, you also have to be in the marching band. He's like, cool, I quit. And my sister, who was a little over a year older than me, was already playing violin. And I have a younger brother, and we were driving home from somewhere. And the way I remember it, we were coming home, and all of a sudden my dad was like, hey, boys, you want to learn how to play an instrument? And they're like, okay, sure. And he was like, how about a trumpet? You know, I used to play that, and that was good enough for me, right? So we go in. He takes my brother and I into this shop. And the woman who ended up being our teacher hands each of us an instrument. It was like, you know, take this, blow into it, see what happens. And my brother, like I said, a couple years younger than me, picks it up and blows into it, and a note comes out, right? It's not good. It doesn't sound like music, but it is working correctly. Like, here's the start of a trumpet player. And I was like, cool. And I go, nothing.
They're hard to play.
They are hard to play.
They're
very hard to play.
And I'm getting nervous. I was like, how can this little squirt be playing something? I can't do it. Like, I was like, I gotta go get it. Nothing. Like, not even a little bit. Like, I don't even hear any air coming through the trumpet. And I'm really starting to get nervous. And all of a sudden she looks at me and she's like, oh wait, that's the broken one. You know, here, try this one. She hands me the one he was playing, and boop, I play a note. Okay, all's right in the world. I can go ahead and start trying to play this instrument. And
spend the rest of your life playing the trumpet.
Yeah.
So it's competition. Yeah. You're like, I've got to do better than my brother.
Yeah. You know, like I was 9 years old, so he was 6 or 7. I really needed to be able to do better than.
Yeah, you had to do better than a 6-year-old. You know, that's one that has to.
Do you ever, like at the end of the show, have that like trumpet lip?
My face hurts after every show.
No, it's the spit valve. That's the fun part.
You guys got the, yep.
Well, I'm right behind him most shows, so I catch almost every one of them where he turns to the side and lets it go.
We technically lost a pay on a gig because the reason was...
The only time we've ever not been paid to play. Yep.
And one of a number of reasons was because I was emptying my spit valve on stage.
Yeah,
which was, I thought...
This place was like it was a dirty old restaurant years and years ago.
They just didn't want to pay you. It's
no, he had a lot of crazy excuses not to pay us, but one of them was the spit valve.
That was a crazy trip.
Yeah, it was a weird trip. We had our first tour van that we were super proud of. Did all this social stuff. Check out our new van.
Broke down twice.
Broke down twice. The second time for good.
Yeah.
Broke down on the way to Nashville. Got stiffed in Nashville. Broke down on the way back. Yeah. Ended up having to sit at this like McDonald's for like 8 or 9 hours for this giant dually truck driver to like pack
tow
off,
us
to tow us and get us all in this truck with him like this to for a long ride, a long sad ride, long sad quiet ride back to Roanoke. It was so our next opportunity, we got a new van. we bought a new van, something that was not gonna give us any problems. And that's Vando. That's why you hear the Vando sessions. Vando Calrissian is our van.
There's nothing worse than being broken down on the side of the road.
Holy crap. Right. You're, absolutely.
I've never been in a... Well, no, take that back. I have been broken down in a van.
I've definitely had some issues in cars many times.
My tire exploded in front of the Pentagon.
Oh, what? No.
And then, and it was like at 3 a.m. And then the cops were like, so what are you doing here? And I'm like,
cell in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, now you're writing a book on Guantanamo Bay.
All right, take her out. We're lucky that you're here with us.
I know. I was really scared.
So were you both in the marching band or?
No, I've always done the kit, the rocking kit. I was in band, but we played we played drum kit for like basketball games and pep rallies and stuff. Yeah. And then for the class, I was always in bands outside of school.
I was in marching band my junior and senior year of high school.
Yeah, I skipped band.
I liked it. It wasn't for me.
Marching band was fine. You know,
I was in the marching band. I am not judging. I was in it. 4 years plus middle school.
I was, I remember I was running cross country and marching band was at the same time. So there was a conflict there, but they're like, listen, if you're going to be in the marching band, you have to be at practice. You can run on your own time. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And the band director was like, Ryan, we'll give you a solo if you join the marching band. And that was good enough for me. You know,
I was like,
if you wanted to inflate my ego in high school or today, like I was good for it.
So you like being the showman even
I joined the band and he didn't give me a solo. It was really bitter.
He tricked him.
He did trick me, but I came back the next year.
Got bamboozled by the band director.
Bamboozled.
Yep. Yeah.
I was a theater kid, so I did a lot of music. Outside of school, I spent my extracurricular stuff.
I guess you sing. You are a vocalist, right? Too.
I do some of the leads. I'm the drummer, but I do the
drums
second
and vocal, which is crazy that you do both.
Yeah,
it's fun. I mean, I'd have it no other way. I get that a lot, but I don't know what it is. Like the other drummers I know that sing also kind of the same way. It's weird. It's either
see, I guess because drums are so loud, you don't really, you know, they're usually behind the cage. They're not vocals.
We're all on in-ear monitors. So our sound's really dialed in. We can hear ourselves really, really well. Makes it easier to sing without really pushing it and hitting bad notes.
Yeah.
You're able to kind of sit back and control it a lot more.
Yeah. So where do you see yourself? The band, I just hit my mic in like 5 years. I feel like that's a tough question.
I mean, hopefully just growing. Keep on growing. We're always pretty happy with the graduation of our albums. Every time we make a new album, we're like, yes, this is progress.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that. We've had some issues with the bureaucratic part of the industry and stuff. So we've recently kind of with some help, outside help, we're also back to independently booking ourselves and stuff.
I would say some realistic goals, like whether it's 5 years or 3 years for the next couple of years, would be getting some reliable representation that can basically take away a lot of like the management and booking aspect of doing this. A lot of the people we know,
the time consuming distractions of that part of it.
The stuff that if we can get that stuff out of the way, you can focus on just doing the music aspect of it, which, you know, whether or not you love to do it, which we all do, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of sitting down and deciding, well, why do we use this chord instead of this chord? Or do we do this part twice instead of once? Like, what's the value? Like, what kind of song are we trying to make this? Like, do we cut these things? So it does take a lot of work and a lot of attention. I think anyone who is tried to do anything creative knows that the most important aspect of it is just sitting down to put the time in. You have no idea what you're going to come up with in the time between 2 and 5 p.m. when you sit down to write a song. Yeah. You can come up with something brand new, and those are just hours that you don't get back if you're sitting around also punching the numbers and trying to figure out, where are we going to be on Wednesday? Where are we staying?
Who's responded to what?
Yeah, how many hours is it between Cleveland and Chicago? Like, should we put another gig in between? You know, so anything that can let you focus on the creative aspect and working hard there is good for the
band. Giving the maximum amount of time to our ideas, and that alone, you know, just us thinking about music. You know, we got our own things outside of the band too. So that's definitely the next hurdle though. But we've had some steady growth in unexpected places with turnout, and we just want to keep that going.
Do you work with other bands?
As much as we can, yeah. Nothing.
Not directly though. I mean, we don't have any like direct relationships, but whenever we can, you know, that's the name of the game, especially for bands of our size, is you work with people on their home turf. And then they do the same with us when they come here.
I mean, that's a lot of what booking a tour is, you know, is gig swapping with bands where you can help each other out.
Do you do a lot of festivals? Because I know you just did
one. As much as we can.
Right?
We're very much a festival band. We have this, we're pretty like a big spectrum of what we do is disco risque, which is actually kind of what the name's about. Disco risque has nothing really to do with the music disco, even though we do play disco. It's more of a place to where you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what, like, what's going to happen at the disco risque.
Now we know the name.
We've played a lot of festivals in Virginia at this point, a number of them up in the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York, maybe. Yeah, it wasn't really a festival in New Hampshire. But yeah, anytime we can get on a festival lineup is good. And that's true for any band. It's just good exposure. And especially if it's a niche type of music, like, you'll find your fans there.
Yeah.
Like, people that want to see a rowdy late night band, and you come to, you know, especially recently we played at Rooster Rock, even the second night we played there was from 8 to 10 p.m. By the time our set was over, the lights are down. The sun was down, the lights were on stage, and we looked the way we're supposed to look as a band. Like, it's kind of a cool thing to see as well as to hear. Now, that's what the production of this band is all about, is trying to be more than just the music. So that's why I want those late night spots, so you can see us do exactly what we want to be doing as a band.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be another, like, you know, where do we want to be in 5 years? Well, we want all of our sets to be late night sets where you can see us doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
And with the lights and...
Yeah. Because, when we have the opportunity, we have a guy, one of the better lighting designers I've ever worked with. It's a good friend of mine. When he sets us up, we do a lot of our big local shows and our big regional shows with him. And when you see that with us, like, it's very much, it's all a show.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to do that, because, you know, a lot of times on tour, you don't get to have your full production, but yeah. And that growth, being able to have the most disco risque show possible every single time.
You know, like, people come to a hometown gig, and maybe if they know either of us, but they haven't seen a disco risque show, the best response is always, like, they come, they see the show for the first time, and after there's like, I didn't know it was like that. Yeah. Like, you said you were in a band, and, like, you know, when you tell your friends you're in a band, they're like, okay, cool. You get together with your buddies, you have a few beers, you play some music, and I'll come see you play at the bar. And so when they come and see something, it's like, you know, we are a professional band, whether or not we're, like, headlining national tours or anything. So when they come and see it, it's like, whoa, like, I didn't know it was like that.
That's always,
like,
fun.
My mom gave me this book years ago that was just, like, full of, like, inspirational quotes and whatnot. And she, like, bookmarked the ones. She was like, oh, these are the best ones. And what it reminds me of, this Federico Fellini quote, where he's like, if you really want to see a man, you have to see him doing what he loves. You won't recognize me when the power comes on. And I just feel like that's what, like, a disco risque show should feel like the first time you see this. Like, I didn't know that these guys were like that. Mm-hmm. When they're up there doing their thing.
Now so, I have to see you guys live.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see us. That's kind of accents the juxtaposition of the Vando sessions too, because it's always an acoustic, broken down, soft, like, we do pop music, and then you see us live, and it's this, like, it's funk, dance, metal music. It's very, very different from one another.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
No, you guys are
they should play with Dan's band. Flower Bomb. Flower Bomb can do it, and then they could play too. And Flower they could Bomb? Do
I like that name.
Oh, they played for the DC Whammies. They won me. Do you know? Yeah. You guys should hook up.
We're with the DC Whammies.
I thought it was like the award thing, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's the award thing. Yeah, they're really cool. Very they have a cool record, Pearson.
Sweet.
Yeah. You can listen to their record and their episode.
Yeah.
Okay. That we did with them.
Flower Bomb.
Yep. Sweet. Yep. After finish Rachel's Ghost, they have two singles coming out.
Her name, the singer in Flower Bomb is named Rachel. So yes, Rachel's not crazy talking about her.
No, Rachel's crazy. But Rachel doesn't show she's crazy until
Rachel's not Rachel talking in third person. Yeah.
Rachel totally did at work once.
Well, anyway, so anything else, like any funny stories on the road?
Oh, man, we'd be here all night. I think well, mostly...
Well, that's like a one memory.
Check out.
Yeah, we'd be here all night and you'd be cutting the
you'd
entire...
You're like, nope, unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Oh, I thought you meant cutting it up, like laughing at you guys. Oh. You mean I would be cutting...
Yeah, we'll give you one mean, just
you guys,
because
you
it's...
Guys can give cut. Us one, yeah.
You guys can cut anything you want. This is just...
Oh, trust me, I do.
This is, you know what? Here's my she promise. Does. This is just exactly how it went down. I can promise that this is... I'm not hamming it up for inappropriateness. So... We told you about our first van. It broke down on the way to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. So we break down in Strawberry Plains. We limp off the road. All of a sudden, the gas pedal just wasn't working. So we're just rolling, and we managed to roll off this exit into this gas station. And this gentleman...
Literally pushing the van, rolling down the exit.
So this gentleman comes up to the van to help us out. Terry Berry. And
is he from Boone County? I know it's Terry.
We don't.
Maybe.
He's kind of a Cotton Eye Joe character.
Yeah.
And where'd he come from? Where'd he go? So he walks up.
No one truly knew his name.
Oh, you're making it up.
I mean, he said it was Terry. Maybe it was Barry. We just don't know.
Half of us were convinced it was Terry. So it's Terry Berry.
So he comes up. He's like, I'm a mechanic. We're like, okay. So he starts. We're not.
You
so.
Just let him touch your van?
Well, we needed help. We were a long ways from nowhere.
And you're like, it's already broken.
How are you guys alive still?
And he rolled up in a truck that looked like it was owned by someone who knew how to piece a thing together. So he's
so
looking at
it,
he's like, okay.
Like a normal serial killer person, they look normal.
Yeah, so it gets good.
It gets good.
So
it gets
he's like, first, and I always kind of forget this part, he's like, okay, so what you got to do is you got to go in here and you're going to get, well, it's called ether. Well, I call it ether. What it is it's liquid starter, and I call it ether, and you're going to need to go and get there. Get this can, it's going to have ether on it. So you're going to get to, and it just, he won't stop. And I was like, dude, I get it. So it comes out and he sprays it in there. It doesn't start. He's like, there's one other thing. It could be insert some component of the engine that I don't remember. He's like, we'll take yours out and we'll drive to the auto zone up the way and test it. So I was like, okay. And so I get in the car with this guy and we drive up to the auto zone.
Again, how are you not dead?
We kind of vote Ryan as like, all right, sorry, man. We just all three voted you to go with this guy.
Yeah.
This
it does stranger sound like you voted him
with
off
like
the island.
10
someone,
teeth.
Someone had to go. Someone had to go.
You were the last one to join the band.
So I drive to the auto zone with this guy, and they have a device there where they can test this part and tell you if it's working. So we give them the part. They go to hook it up. And he had been telling us he was a mechanic the whole time, and he pulls out his phone. He's like, I wanna prove to you that I'm a mechanic. So, like, I've got all these pictures in my phone of me doing this work. So I'm like, cool. So he opens up. He's like, here I am working on a big rig, and it's him on a truck, and he's swiping through it. He's like, here I'm in the junkyard. It's him in the junkyard. Another, like, junkyard dog. He gets to, like, the fourth picture, and it's a dick pic. And he doesn't say anything. And
a dead what?
A dick pic.
Yeah,
I thought you said dick pic.
No, you heard.
I had that happen to me.
So I was worried. So close.
He just says nothing. He just kind of keeps going and doesn't like make a big deal of it. And like I'm kind of like, well, I'm not gonna bring it up. Like, I don't know, maybe a dozen more pictures, and there's a few more of these bombs in there.
So it's not even just one
at this point. And the part comes back and it's broken. He's right. This is the part of our engine that needed fixing. So I buy a new one and we get back in his truck to drive back there. And he's like, let's take the back roads back. We had taken the highway there and he's like, it's quicker this way. We don't have to go back to the highway. You know? And I was like, I'm already in the car, right? We're already going.
He's already advertised himself. So you knew what you were getting into.
You already know which back road to go on.
So I'm trying to figure out how we can like compensate this guy for his time. Cause it's been a few hours. It's been a few hours at this point since he started helping us out. I was like, man, he's probably going to want to be paid. And we're a band on the road. We didn't have any money. And so I was like, you know, maybe we can give him some drinks. Maybe he likes to smoke, or like, we'll figure it out. And so I just asked him, I was like, hey man, like, you know, what do you like, you know, do you like to drink? We can get you some beers. And we actually use this as the intro to a song we do now. We get to this point in the song and he goes, and I swear to God, this is exactly what he says. As we're on the back roads from AutoZone back to our broken down van. Hey, do you drink beers or anything? He goes, no. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't take pills. All I do is smoke ass.
That's the most terrifying thing you'd hear from somebody that you just met.
I swear to God, that's exactly what he says to me. And I couldn't tell you how I responded. Like, I probably was just,
High-pitched ringing in your ears. You terror.
And just didn't talk the rest. And he got us back there.
He
put
the
thing in our van. Our van does turn on.
Starts up like a dream.
And I think we kicked him like $40 in a CD or something.
Yeah. So, and more importantly than $40, if you go to our second full length album, if you don't like hits,
yeah,
you'll
there's
hear
a song
on
there called Erotozone, which the content of the song is about this, but the namesake and everything comes from this experience and going to this AutoZone.
And knowing the story kind of makes the song really ironic too. And they're completely different things, besides the inspiration for the title. But that's weird.
You're
like
happy
he does
to
a
make
quick
it back
version
to
of
the
that
van.
On stage. And
I'm just really glad you're alive.
What was that, Hannah?
No ass blow.
Yeah, right? We're happy you made it back.
Yay.
Yeah.
In
the end, he never laid a finger on me. So.
He was a sweetheart. Old Terry Mary. We don't care anymore. He was actually just a terrifying angel. What do you
want? Terrifying.
Did he live with his mom?
He just made a few mistakes with deleting photos in his phone, and he was trying to prove his worth to me, and he got ahead of himself.
Who knows the last time he showed pictures to somebody else?
Yeah. The good news is he was showing his worth in other ways too. He showed how worthy he was.
Yeah, or he was politely hitting on this handsome man.
Yes,
that's what it sounds like.
I mean, yeah,
he was like, "That's a pretty."
That's what it was.
That's what he's like. Let me show you how I work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Between us girls, it was a pretty good dick. Too.
Between us girls?
Well, that's what I said. I was like, was it good? Like, was it, like, did he?
Because, I mean, if it wasn't weird looking, then there you have it.
No.
I mean,
as no weird looking normal.
Good
I'd
talk.
Say.
Yeah. What?
And he knew more than most about cars, so you got to give him that. He pulled out something I didn't even know existed. I don't even know if it was
he
real.
He knows the trunk, too.
The ignition distributor.
He puts a key in the ignition.
Yep. Put the key in. They're like gasoline.
So to start the next car. Thing you know. Wow. I'm glad you guys learned that finally.
We did. It was fun.
No, the song put the key in the ignition.
Well, that was the same trip that the van broke down twice. We broke down on the way back from the gig getting stiff.
Totally separate issue.
Breakdown, Terry Berry, Arado Zone, get stiffed in Nashville, breakdown. Story's over.
I'm surprised the band survived it, to be
honest.
It
was a wild
2 days.
Traumatic. It was a wild 2 days.
I feel
like
you could have a movie made, you know?
Well, I mean, we talk about that a lot. Like, we talk about writing a lot of the stuff down, because we do see some fun stuff and get into some fun antics on the road.
Yeah, you'll have to definitely write it down, and maybe you could do, like, a documentary and talk about it.
We thought about doing kind of, like, a goofy confessional-style real world on tour, but almost parody. I mean, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, because you're not strangers. I think that's how it starts. Like nine strangers.
No, and we're so close. We really talk shit to each other. Like we're so close.
Five friends,
really
one
make,
van.
Yeah.
One Terry Berry.
I always tell my dad, like, you know, any of the weird stuff that happens on tour and anything bad that happens, like, yeah, we got stuff. He's like, well, you know, write it down in the rock and roll journal.
You might as well. Yeah.
Old yeah, Diener. Okay, Dad.
Yeah, because you're going to forget. Like, you're going to be like older.
He's 100% right. You know, I think at the time I'm trying to complain to him about it. He's like, yeah, but now this story will be worth so much 100%. Down the road.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
They all are.
And don't forget us too when you become like famous.
Oh, please. We'll be regulars.
We're regulars. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess also we want
to. Well, you guys play as a concert then next time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
One song.
And we also want to, I guess we should definitely talk about Top of the Key as an EP we just put out. Three song EP, three singles we're really, really proud of. I think they're officially all out on all the streaming stuff.
And then last week, popular side called? Of the band.
The EP is called Top of the Key.
Yeah, I listened to those today. And you guys played Draw Me Like a French Girl, I think, at the show.
Yeah, we sure
and then
did.
You took
yeah,
a break.
We probably played, all you know, we didn't play, I don't think we played Figure It
we
Out.
We didn't play Figure It Out. No.
But yeah, it's the popular side of the band. Like he was saying, the full length is a bunch of, you know, brutal, heavy instrumental stuff.
5 to 7 minute songs too.
And we go between all that. You were asking earlier what our favorite song is, and I don't have a favorite at any, you know, for like the longevity of the band, but probably one of my favorite recorded songs we have is Bag of Tricks. It's the first one off our second full-length album, and I think just the way everything came together on it, it sounded really big. It sounded the way in my head when we were going in, there's like, how can we make this band with, at the time, which was four people, sound like we have a 12 person band in the room, and it sounded big and it sounded the way we wanted it to. And that was an exciting time in the band for me, because it was music we had all collaborated on as writers, and we're now in the studio doing it together. And it was really coming together in a way where I felt like we all kind of knew what we were doing at this point. It was like, you know what? Aww. It's not all guesswork. It's always going to be some guesswork, because that's what the creative process is. But it felt pretty professional,
like
too.
We found the sound. Yeah. Like we officially found the sound kind of thing.
It's time to talk about tea.
I'm going to spill the tea.
No, I'm going to talk about the t-shirts and merch we have for sale on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
Oh man, I wanted to hear some juicy gossip, but I do think our t-shirts are pretty juicy. Even though it is getting warmer outside, people can still buy our hoodies for those cool spring days.
People can also receive 15% off by using our listener code TELLINGPEOPLE found in our episode notes.
And back to our show. Disco Risque, what would you like to tell people?
Well, first, we'd like to tell you thank you for having us on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with both of you, Rachel and Hannah.
It's awesome.
But you can find Disco Risque literally anywhere you can get your media from. Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We're out there. We're making funky rock and roll dance parties all over the country. And you should check it out. We want to play for you. We want to put our music in your ears. Over and over again.
Over and over.
And I'll make sure to include the links to some of your stuff in the episode notes so people Please can do. Just click it.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a Linktree link I can send you that'll just take.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, people can take that and go get whatever they want from us there.
We just got, with tour wrapping up, we have a sale going on at discorisque.com on some merch if anybody wants like downloads or shirts or one of our many things we got to offer.
Hey, yeah. Make sure to check that out. And thank you so much. I know I feel like I was just a random person messaging you, so I really appreciate you guys messaging.
That's how we all meet, I guess, you know? Like, this is awesome. Thank you.
It warmed my heart to see that message in there. So,
yeah.
What I'd like to tell people is that you guys are awesome, and I'll pass it along.
Yeah, make sure you share and keep in touch when you guys are in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then when you guys have something new out too, you can come back and share that on our show as well.
That would be amazing. We have this this plan for this big promotional run for our big album release in the fall. So we would love to. And maybe even play some for you too.
There we go.
Yes, we would love that.
It would be otherwise just as unplanned. Other than us having a few instruments for you.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll introduce you to the other guys too. But we like to.
Yeah.
We're micromanagers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's okay. I am too.
Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you. We won't keep you too much longer. Really appreciate it. We'll keep in touch because we'll be sharing, and we share a lot on Instagram and stories and things like that too.
Killer. Awesome.
Yeah, and please go get a laugh. Check out our stuff we do outside the band, our sketches and stuff. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to watch it. I saw a little bit of it before. And then make sure you post a TikTok so you guys can go viral.
Hell yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks. We all take it easy. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe so they will be notified of our next episode. It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Stay healthy, everyone. And now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
I really enjoyed it. They're not from West Virginia, and you know, so I can't say my normal line.
Well, shit.
Yeah, but they're from Southern Virginia. But I really enjoyed getting to know Ryan, well, Swimsuit and Slim. It was really, you know, cool listening to them and how they, you know, mostly live together and they travel together and they seem to like get along and they write and they've been together, you know, since 2014. So 8 years is a long time to be in a band together, and like hearing their process and just their camaraderie and like their funny stories. And just everything. It was really, you know, cool. And I can't wait to see what they'll do in the next couple of years and listen to more of their music and also have them come back on to talk about their music. What did you think about this episode?
I thought the episode was a lot of fun because it also took me back to like feeling like I was back in high school when they kept talking about the pop music and everything and the hard rock. But no, I just meant with their fun music in the car for people. I can't wait to check that out. I really believe that it's just really cool that you could be with a group for 8 years and then continue coming up with so many different types of music and still get along too, right? And actually come up with ideas and hear each other's and have weird ass adventures. I think that's great. That's just family. So I can't wait to actually see them in person live and also have them play for us.
We hope you guys have a great week and tune in and great summer. And
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.